All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking, Frank Maloney, Jim Hobgood, and our in-studio guest, Vern Inge from LeClaire Ryan. All right, Vern, on Thursday night, Virginia thrashes Duke. Coach Krzyzewski's team was held back by a security official. However, there was an excellent security detail that shielded Duke's players and coaches. Nobody was touching the Duke players. They weren't threatened. However, Coach K in the post-game press conference couldn't talk enough about it. So worried about the fans storming the court. Well, you know, the fans never storm the court anymore in college basketball. So this was big news, wasn't it? So tell me, what were your thoughts overall in the situation? The University of Virginia clearly presented to Coach K and his staff exactly what the security plan was before the game. Video refutes everything that Krzyzewski said post-game. Does UVA have any grounds to sue that guy?
Well, I don't think we want to see UVA suing Krzyzewski over something like that, but it is a big legal issue and a concern for players and coaches and most importantly, probably the folks who run the arenas all over college sports. You get fans that storm the field, storm the court occasionally, and it's something that people need to be prepared to deal with. And it looks to me like UVA was very well prepared to deal with the situation. Obviously, they had predicted the win over Duke, like a lot of us, and had the security personnel there. The plan was clear that they had lined up the security personnel. You can see from the video that they enter the court as the game ends and seal off the players from both teams from the fans that are celebrating on the court, and then keep the Duke players from walking into those fans coming down the stands. That's apparently what upset Krzyzewski, as he started verbally attacking one of the guards and maybe even pushing him, according to the rumors, because the guard wouldn't let him across the place where the fans were crossing to get into the locker room.
I think what really upset Krzyzewski is Duke lost. That's what really upset
that's
him.
That's right.
Well, exactly. No doubt. It seems mind-numbing that Virginia presented the game plan for what would happen in the event of the upset and how to handle it, and he still complained. But I think the guy just complains about everything during the game, after the game. If he doesn't get exactly what he wants, he just complains. All right, other topics. University of Miami this is an incredibly long-going investigation. It's been going on for 2.5 years. Recently, the NCAA had an enforcement official removed from the case, Julie Rowe Locke, L-A-C-H, who was the NCAA's vice president for enforcement. She's been replaced on the case. NCAA president Mark Emmert has apologized for all that. Nevertheless, we all know that the NCAA has now given the notice of allegations as of February 20th. Turns out that the major accusation is lack of institutional control with regards to a major booster, Nevin Shapiro, who apparently doled out a lot of money and a lot of favors and a lot of bennies illegally to Miami Hurricane players.
What kind of bennies were those?
Well, nightclubs. money, bling.
It's a family show, so we can't talk about all the bennies.
Well, we're going to keep this clean, but they're looking into all that, and they've been looking at it for a long time, and the NCAA should have ruled by now. But just general, how did Miami get themselves in a situation where a booster had so much room and latitude to do all these things? Well,
by not paying attention. There's a lot of great stories here, really interesting stuff in this, including the NCAA's issues. But the number one offense that a college can make, according to the NCAA, is a lack of institutional control, is the phrase. And you have to control your boosters, make sure they're not giving money away. This guy is convicted felon now, stole all that money he was giving away, and used it to pay players and provide benefits to coaches and players all over the place against NCAA regulations. That doesn't seem to be disputed at all. And, of course, all the allegations Miami keeps saying are coming from a felon, and apparently the NCAA has accepted that hook, line, and sinker, and is now saying you know, we're going to sanction you further for it. Of course, Miami's done what most schools do in these instances and self-sanctioned to try to tell the NCAA, we figured it out ourselves, we've punished ourselves, please don't do any more to us. NCAA seems to be saying they're going to go ahead and do
more. Now, is this football and basketball or primarily football?
Yes, there's a reason Frank Haith is at the University of Missouri right now.
It involved both sports, football and basketball, and maybe others.
And it's also interesting that Dave Leto
is right there with Mr. Haith.
Mr. Calm, Cool, and Composed himself is out there at Missouri, I guess ostensibly to add a little bark to Haith's bite, apparently.
Well, that's one of the gripes a lot of times is the coach who often is involved, you know, maybe you're, you know, he skates on these things. You know, the coach leaves, goes somewhere else, gets big money again, and the coach doesn't seem to be penalized.
Sometimes that happens. That's exactly right. And it's interesting here, we actually have a case where one of the current Miami basketball players, apparently his family received benefits from this guy. He was suspended. And now they've allowed him to play again because apparently they've been able to demonstrate he didn't have any knowledge of it at all. The benefits just went straight to his family. Folks getting benefits all up and down the line, and some folks leaving the school. Coaches can do that. Players, of course, can't.
Well, it's interesting. You know, the Hurricanes, you know, this is not a new experience historically for them. They've had a number of past scandals. In 94, the Herald reported that Two Live crew member Luther Campbell and several NFL players had offered a pay-for-play system from 1986 through 92. So it seems to me by now that University of Miami needs to crack down and maybe get a little tougher. And call me crazy, but it seems like it's history just going to keep repeating itself in Miami.
Well, you're crazy.
I am crazy.
That's right. You said call me crazy.
I'm working with you, Hubble. I must be crazy.
The Miami certainly had a number of issues throughout the year, some serious infractions over decades, and have been sanctioned, and it seems to start up again, and they now are back in trouble, and seems to be another problem.
It blows my mind, because I always thought Donna Shalala was as clean as the wind-driven snow.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Not. You know, there's a whole bunch of players. If you go Google this whole thing, it's about 8 pages of information. Let's switch the story here, storyline a little bit, and talk about something that's a little bit more mysterious to me, and that is the whole probe into the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and the situation with, you know, the African American Studies program, where there were 54 classes that were not being properly run by a professor, in which case it's been identified that 45% of the rosters in those classes were made up of student athletes, yet somehow North Carolina has skated in that this is a academic scandal?
Well, of course, North Carolina doesn't have the history that Miami does of the violations in the past. The NCAA might not be digging quite as deep. Of course, that investigation has now been going on for a long time. I still find it very hard to believe that Carolina is not going to face some serious sanctions by the NCAA for that, but right now it looks like they may not face serious sanctions. It's sort of a wait and see. It's somewhat amazing that you want the folks to be student athletes. That's what the NCAA claims, but on the student side of things, they just claim.
Is there a double standard between academic violations and violations that might involve finances?
Certainly seems to be. I guess the NCAA gets upset if they don't get their piece of the action on the money side. I don't know.
They want their cut, huh?
That's right.
Oh. Well, you know, it's also interesting that the chancellor at the University of North Carolina is stepping down. His name is Holden Thorpe, and he's stepping down, but he's not stepping down because of this. This is only part of the iceberg there. He's stepping down because of his failure to manage the development program down there, and the number two man there, who is recently resigned in recent months, Matt Kupek, who is a quarterback and the number two fundraiser, he was having a long-standing affair with Tammy Hansbrough, the mother of Tyler Hansbrough, the former basketball player at Carolina, who's now in the NBA.
I told you earlier this is a family show. We got to watch this stuff. You know, now he could be stepping down for the reason the politicians do, wants to spend more time with his family. You know, that's right. Always the good political explanation.
That's right.
Well, I don't know, but this affair was going on for years, and they took something like 20-some trips on private jets, and you know, there was all these accusations that Kupek found and funded the job for Tammy Hansbrough. The whole thing is just bizarre, and I just have a hard time understanding how the University of North Carolina, which has such an excellent reputation, would allow something like this to be going on. I mean, this didn't go on for a couple of weeks. This was going on for years.
Well, it's, you know, talk about lack of institutional control. If you, you know, your fundraisers obviously have a lot of ability to run around and do things, but that's very dangerous from a legal standpoint too, from an employment perspective. If you have employees that are having an affair together, it not only looks really bad in the press, bad for fundraising, but also can create legal problems.
Well, there are two factors, gentlemen. First and foremost, there's a lot of money in college athletics anymore. And the second factor is there are a lot of participants in college athletics that have no business being in college from an academic standpoint. And, you know, I don't, unless and until you start policing that.
Well, potentially, we're talking about Julius Peppers, who, based upon that transcript they found that ended up going all over the internet, I'm not sure how that guy got into Carolina to begin with. And Marvin Austin,
he's a pretty good football player.
Very good defensive end. You know,
he could have gone to junior college and made his way. So
maybe
they didn't. Mm. They needed a defensive end a little quicker.
Yeah. So. Well, there's Marvin Austin. Apparently, he was. Anyway, we hope that Carolina cleans all that up and moves on, because we love the rivalry with North Carolina, and we've deliberately waited for a very long time to even discuss this topic on Who's Talking. But, Vern, any other thoughts on these two situations at these two schools?
It's just interesting to watch what the NCAA is going to do there. And, of course, as Who fans, we all need to be mindful of what's going on in Charlottesville, too, because it's very easy for some alumni, some booster to go out and start giving money around. And obviously it's a huge embarrassment to the university, and it causes, you know, serious ramifications to the sports program if it gets out of control.
You know, it's interesting. Miami is a small school relative in size to UVA, much closer, very comparable. Carolina is a huge school. I mean, they have gigantic classes.
Well, I don't know about Chapel Hill. Of course, the University of North Carolina. So Chapel Hill is significantly larger student-wise than Virginia.
Oh, my goodness. It's a gigantic school compared to Virginia. And, you know, Virginia has like 3,500 students in the college in the incoming class every year.
Yeah,
Carolina,
12 or 13.
I think Carolina is 8 or 9,000. So it's we're talking about a much larger scale. And
we're going to have our fact checkers check those numbers between now and next week. I'm not sure Carolina's quite that big.
Carolina's got 30-some thousand students.
At Chapel Hill.
Correct.
You know, they got all the Greensboro, Wilmington, Charlotte, all these other university campuses around the state.
But the undergraduate population is what's so much bigger than what we have at UVA. It's just a different scale, Hubbo. Let's look at things down the road. We've got the NCAA waiting to make decisions on all this. You've got other issues that the NCAA is dealing with today. You know a little bit about what's going on, or maybe more than a little bit, concerning this lawsuit that's being brought against the NCAA by the former athletes that felt that they should be rewarded for the use of their image, their name, their number on jerseys and video games and so forth. And some people say that this lawsuit could just sabotage the NCAA totally. It's so big.
This is a very significant issue. The NCAA and EA Sports are named as defendants, along with some others, because they have been using college athletes' likeness, not their names, interestingly, in the video games. They don't use the names, but they use the Ed O'Bannon, who's a lead plaintiff in the cases, that many of them have been put together. It's a left-handed player that's in the colors of UCLA and even on the UCLA team. And obviously, based on the statistics and things, it is Ed O'Bannon, Oscar Robertson. There are a number of players that can identify their likeness in these video games, but they're not receiving royalties. They're not getting paid for the use of their likeness.
Any similarity to Hobo in any of those? I could use a little piece of that action.
We'll have to take a deep look at that. Get you in there as a plaintiff. But those suits have been filed around the country, and there are a number of them pending, particularly that have been consolidated in California. And it's going to be interesting to see where it turns out. Obviously, the NCAA, which licenses these games and the school names and colors to be used, but the players themselves have not given any permission. The players do sign whenever they play for an NCAA institution, a waiver of their rights to use their image while they're playing, of course, so that we can all have pictures of the players around. The NCAA licenses that, or the school licenses that, but they have not allowed that for these video games after they've been playing. So it's a very interesting legal issue, and we'll have to see how it comes out, but could be very expensive for the NCAA and EA Sports.
Fern, you're working in that world all the time, working with athletes, working with agents, working with just the whole sports business. What other trends are you seeing today that concern you, just in general?
Well, the professional sports world, which is where I work a lot, is a very difficult business these days. There, and of course, the economy affects everybody, but you see player salaries going up, up, and up. And I typically represent players and agents, so I view that as a good thing. Maybe, you know, they're getting their fair share of the pie. But we do see pressure on ticket prices. You do see the fans who are now, if I try to take my three kids to a NBA game, it's going to cost me $400 by the time the night's over. And so there is significant pressure on the business. And the real problem is what corners get cut when there are those economic pressures, particularly in the agent world. Now we're seeing so many agents out there. You can identify a college football player that's going to be an NFL star, at least by their senior year and probably by their junior year. And the players, the agents are willing to do just about anything to sign
real him. Quick, tell us again the rules on that. When can the agent have contact with a college player?
Well, they can have contact at just about any time. Now, most schools prohibit that, but the agents ignore it. And so they're in there recruiting and all the time, whenever they identify the prospect. The player cannot sign or enter any deal and, of course, receive any compensation from an agent until they're done with their eligibility. And so that's
the
rule
that's
violated.
It's the end of their season the last year that they play in the school, right?
That's correct.
So the bowl game ends, and then Joe Smith becomes open season.
That's correct.
He can and end of their eligibility, or they declare for the NBA draft or NFL draft or whatever.
That's correct. They typically, if they're going to declare early, then they can get advice from someone to decide whether that's a good idea or not, but they can't hire an agent to do that.
All right, that's been very interesting, and we've, as always, we learn a little bit more every time Vern visits with us. We're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to cover the Olympic sports and then preview the upcoming games on the ACC schedule, and we're going to talk about the ACC tournament that's coming up. Stay with us.